Welcome in, everybody. It's the Craft Beer Republic. Thanks for drinking. Thanks for joining. I am Greg, and I am being joined by the guy who is enjoying that sweet, delicious weather in Wisconsin. That's Flexi. What's up, bud?
Hey, not too much, man. It is pretty nice here.
Yeah, it's pretty nice here. It's like springtime.
Like actual springtime.
Yeah, like bees are buzzing and birds are not shutting the fuck up and it's warm out.
See, and we only have like a week of spring, but we can't get too excited for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We get May. May's pretty calm. In fact, it'll cool back down a little bit in May. Like we'll get some May gray kind of shit coming in. It's actually kind of nice. And
last year we didn't get summer until mid-June.
Oh, summer like really kicks in for us like July, and then August is when it really gets dry, and like June is usually pretty nice.
We're talking like above like 60 degree weather though. That's what I'm saying. Like we didn't get that till like mid June.
Below 60 is the frozen tundra for us.
Right, right, yeah. I wouldn't want to have to put you through that.
No. When it dips down to 55 at night, good God. I'm on suicide watch. It's like
get the emergency parkas.
You're right, exactly. Does anybody have any pea coats I can put on? Good Lord, it's cold out here. Anyways,
fancy ass and a pea coat.
Right. Hey, by the way, not a weather show.
No. Too soon.
Too soon. All right, everybody. Thanks for drinking along. Follow us on the socials at Craft Beer Republic, and of course, FlexMeABeer_ in between. Find us on all the podcast apps and all that good shit. Make sure to like and follow and subscribe and whatever it is that podcast app decides to call that specific action, you should do it because they keep changing their minds on what to call it. So anyways, enough with the nerd stuff. So much to get to. I'm hot off of officiating a wedding. Talk about that.
You're kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal around here. World Beer Cup happened last week. We got some stats from that. Some other booze news, lots of brewery acquisitions and movings and closings and all kinds of stuff. So if you don't mind, I could really, really use some hydration. I am drinking, and I should say, I am drinking this because of you, Flex.
Uh-oh.
I saw
what
this
did
on,
I do?
I saw this on the old Tavor, and I thought, well, that sounds familiar. I'm drinking Four Hands Brewing collaboration with Surly Brewing, Voltron.
Hey, nice.
Volume 4.
I haven't seen that out here yet.
I think you had Volume 3 on the show, right?
Yeah, I think I had a cup. I think I did 1 and 3.
Okay, yeah. So I saw this, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to snatch it up.
Nice.
6.5% at 3.93 on Untappd. They say the fourth release in a six-part series of collaborations with breweries from around the country to bring Voltron to life. Voltron Volume 4 is a juicy, hazy IPA brewed with Surly Brewing Company in Minneapolis. Late and dry hopping with a blend of Strata, Mosaic, and Alora contributes bright notes of sweet tropical fruit, mango, pineapple, and yuzu that leap from this soft, pillowy IPA. On the schnoz, I'm really picking up the tropical notes. The mango, the pineapple leads behind it with that like strong, unripe pineapple smell.
I love unripe pineapple.
Ooh, on the old tongue jobber. It is pillowy soft. Look, visually, maybe not the haziest hazy I've ever seen in my life, but it is pillowy soft. I guess unripe pineapple. I don't taste so much of the mango as I do smell it. I do get a lot of citrus notes behind that. That's probably the yuzu. It is pillowy soft, like they say. And I do get a little bit of hop burn on the finish to clean things off.
Sounds terrific.
Yeah, it's not too shabby. What is it? 6.5%? Yeah, drinks like a fucking pale ale. It's pretty light and easy to put down. So good job to those guys.
Well, they're doing something right.
Yeah. Glad to get me a hand on some Voltron. So that was exciting.
Yeah, how cool is that? And that can, super rad.
It is a sweet ass can. That's, I mean, let's be honest. That's why everyone's buying it.
Well, right.
We know the secrets.
So much nostalgia.
Right, exactly. So, thank you to for Tavor for getting that over here to us. I think our code still works, unfiltered. If you guys somehow have never used Tavor before, go buy some shit. use promo code Unfiltered. And I think the deal was you got like $10 off your first purchase or something. So they don't even sponsor us anymore, but I think the code's still good. Go check it out, fuckers.
Loophole.
Yeah, loophole. Exactly. And shout out to top listening city of last week, and that's Dallas, Georgia.
I was waiting for some kind of swerve.
Yeah. Georgia, wherever the fuck that is. So thanks, Dallas, Georgia. Hope the peaches are good out there or something.
Or, yeah, maybe the onions.
They have onions in Georgia? Is that a thing?
Yeah, the Vidalia onion.
Oh, I love me some Vidalias.
I bet you do.
Yeah, like those sweet onions.
Daddy don't.
No onions at all or just no sweet ones?
I'll do white onions, yellow onions, if absolute necessary. Definitely no red onions.
Oh.
I can fucks with some green onions.
That's different.
And I don't like sweet onions.
Really? Oh, I like, yes. First of all, I like all the onions, but love
But most sweet importantly,
onions.
Not an onion show.
Not yet. It's not. Give it time.
We Kraft do have layers.
Onion Republic. Oh, I see what you did there.
Nah.
Hey, did you know my sister was getting married?
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. I had
no idea.
Yeah, like she never posted about it, never talked about it.
No, there's no bridal shower, no bachelorette party, no right. No planning. I haven't seen anything about it.
Yeah, it hasn't been going on for over a year or anything. Yeah.
Wow, has it been that long?
Yeah, the secret's been going on for that long. Just not a fucking clue. No one knew.
Golly.
Well, anyways, all the secrecy culminated over the weekend. They finally got married. Maybe we'll only have another year or two of them posting about it.
Now it's either in Disneyland now.
Yeah, today they went to, as we record, they went to Disneyland for a little, I don't know, post-nuptial celebration or something. So,
like, not even a honeymoon, just
threesome with Mickey.
Hey, lucky uh-huh. Mickey.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, Pluto. That's sure
not
hard.
A Mickey show.
Not a Mickey porno show. Yeah, so that happened over the weekend, and, you know, I'm sure as soon as they get their photos back from the photographer, that's another 2 years of posting, and then we're in the clear. We're almost there. We're only 2 short years away from not having to see them post about it anymore, but I don't know if everybody out there in CBR land knew this, but I was the officiant for the wedding.
So Makes sense.
I guess so. I got off the stage, if you were. And one of my cousins goes, hey, sounds like you were doing a podcast up there. I was like, yeah, don't forget to use promo code CBR for 20% off your next order of Casper mattresses or whatever. First of all, kudos to me. I didn't cuss one time up there.
That's huge. That's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I was surprised. And I was almost completely sober, too. I was hanging out in like the bridal suite before it started, and champagne was being passed around. So I had like a half a glass of champagne before we went out there. But that was it. I kept it clean.
Were you trying not to drink a lot to, like, you know, yeah, like not screw up?
Yeah, I think everyone that listens to the show is well aware of what a couple of double IPAs does to my reading abilities.
Yeah, words get hard.
Words get hard. And, you know, I first thought, you know, I'm not going to write anything down. I'm gonna do bullet points. I'm not going to do a script because I don't do well with scripts. I do much better with bullet points. It's what we do on the show and all that stuff. And then I thought, no, there's important things that I got to remember to say and do. I'll write it all out. And what I'll do is I'll read it enough to get familiar with it enough, not to where like I memorized it, because Lord knows that's never going to happen. But I'll know it well enough to where if something has to like improv or move, it won't be the worst thing in the world. And
right.
Like a couple of things. Like, first of all, the entire first half of the first page was all based on everyone staying standing. So, it was, you know, that everyone stands up, bride walks down. And then usually it's the officiant that says, all right, everybody, you may be seated. And I was going to start with, while everyone is still standing, those who are able to remain standing, please do. I was going to have the couple turn around. Hey, look, everyone's here for you. Soak it all in. A couple jokes littered throughout. And then, all right, now everyone may take a seat. And as soon as the bride, aka my sister, hits like the first step, everyone sat their ass down. And I was like, ah.
No.
And only Shannon, only my wife knew like where my script was going. So she did that whole like, I'm not sitting down. Are anybody else going to not sit down too? I'm the only one. All right, you're fucked.
Like the hover over the shitter kind of move. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. Turtle head poking out. So I had to pivot there. And it wasn't the worst thing. I just, anything I said about people standing and, you know, taking it all in, I just had to change to people. So there was that. And then Within the first, I don't know, 3 minutes, a helicopter flew over super low. And luckily it flew over at the part where I was saying, like, everyone's here for you. And it was so low and so loud, I couldn't not address it. It was like, even these helicopter pilots came to see your celebration. So.
Look at your improv skills.
Yeah, man. Improv 101. Part of the groundlings over here. So other than that, you know, a couple little tweaks here and there along the way. And on the way to the venue, I was reading it again and again. And the wife goes, where's the part where you both ask them, blah, 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 I do. I was like, I don't have an I do part. I have a we do. I have like a question to the both of them and I want the response to be we do. She goes, I think you should have an I do. I was like, I have read this to you no less than 100 times.
And now?
And now you want me to add I do's to it? We're on the way. It's printed. Like, so I had a pen in my pocket. I had to do some scratching out.
I was like, man, that's some old school shit right there.
Yeah, so...
clearly, Shannon was never paying attention to any time you ever read it.
Yeah, not once. Not one fucking time, because that never changed from the beginning. Like, the morning of, I changed a couple of things. Like, I actually, everyone will appreciate this with my letters to your wife and to Steph, but I ran it through ChatGPT, and I didn't ask it to change anything. I just asked it to read it and let me know if I'm missing any key elements. And one of the things it came back with I really liked was, you should explain who you are in relation to the couple. And I was like, oh yeah, I should. So I added a part with like, hey, my name's Greg. I'm her sister, blah, blah, blah. And like did a little
You're her sister?
There. Or brother, whatever I am.
That's crazy.
Depends what day of the week, yeah. So I did get a little help from ChatGPT, changed it that morning. But yeah, good times. And then afterwards, I made up for all the beers I didn't drink, I guess. And actually, I was drinking mostly wine. Their beer selection was less than optimal.
Did anybody after the ceremony go up to you and tell you how good of a job you did?
Actually, yeah, it was very nice. A lot of people did.
And then second part to that question, did anybody do the cheesy, oh, I'm going to have you do my wedding?
Yeah, I got a couple of those.
Okay.
And I did get one or two. So how many have you done before this? That's my first one. I got ordained just for this. No way. You've done a ton of these. You're right. You're lying. This is my 17th. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to make you think I was that good.
Right.
Like, what a dumb fucking thing to lie to somebody about.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, is this, how many weddings have you done? Oh, this is my first one. Get out of town.
Bullshit.
You're right. This is something I want to impress you at so much. That I'm going to lie stupidly to your face.
Right.
Nope, never done this one before.
Yeah, exactly. Also, what's your name again? Yeah, that's how important you are to me.
Fucking strangers.
Yeah, I'm gonna lie to some stranger I've never met. Weird.
People are so dumb.
They are. I guess it's meant complimentary, but, you know, it's weird. So.
Oh, yeah. It's just such a weird thing to exclaim about.
Yeah, it really is. So,
like,
what
just
about
come
you?
Back with, oh, my God, that was really good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like a lot that. Of that. A lot of, hey, great job. There were quite a few good job in a surprised tone. Like, hey, good job. Like, you know, didn't know you had it in, you loser.
I need to know what your dad said.
He eventually came over later in the night and said something, you know, very, you know him, very subdued. Not real excitable. Just, you know, good job tonight kind of thing.
I just sound picture him being like, it was really nice. Really
were
nice
you there?
Job.
Were you there? Weird.
Oh, I just know your dad.
Did I butt dial you when it happened or something? That's a little creepy. A little creepy. I did, at one point, you know, they had to do the whole repeat after me, and the DJ who was setting up the microphone was like, okay, here's what you do when it's their turn to talk. There's a little lever here on the mic stand. You drop it down. You turn it. You move it down one step to where they are. And then when the first one's done, you turn it over. And then when she's done, you bring it back up to you. You raise it back up. You adjust it here and you're good to go. I was like, can I just take the mic off the stand and hold it for him? He's like, oh yeah, you could do that too. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. You've just given me way too much to worry about while I'm trying to read.
I was really hoping you're just going to be like, do you know what I do for a living?
That too. Yeah. Honestly, I told Shannon afterwards. I said, I'm sorry that I didn't just hold the mic the entire time. Like, I should have just held it, gotten rid of the stand. The stand looked awful. It was some big ass stand and should have gotten rid of it and just held. I know how to hold a fucking microphone.
Excuse me, wedding DJ. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I actually get paid for this.
Yeah. Do you know who I am? Clearly, you have not checked out the Finland podcast charts recently. Otherwise, you would not need to explain this to me. Stupid.
So stupid.
So stupid. So,
wow, that's aggressive.
Yeah. But good times. A bunch of family came out of, you know, other cities and states. So got to see.
Was the travel bad for you? I don't know how far away your sister lives or the wedding was.
Oh, the venue was 17 minutes from my house.
Okay.
So that's no, not bad.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. So like Marty the Brew Pup, he stayed with Deb and Brian while the wedding was going on. Because all of our dog sitters were at the wedding.
At the wedding, yep.
Parents there, sisters there, was there. So I was like, shit, who's going to watch dog? Oh, hey, Deb and Brian, do you mind watching? So they were nice enough to watch Mario the Brew Pup. And then,
well, yeah. I hope you get him some beer or something.
Yeah, I definitely owe him a bottle of something halfway decent for that. But yeah, good times. Going to any weddings or anything over the weekend? Do any officiating?
Fresh out of weddings. yeah. We did catch a Brewers game.
Oh, nice.
The Yankees were in town.
Not nice.
And they completely obliterated us.
Mm.
So it's probably the worst game I ever went to. And it was basically over after the top of the third.
Oh, jeez.
And just because I'm such a cheapskate, you know, paying for tickets to go to the game.
No, leaving early.
You just got to, at least to like the seventh inning.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just sitting there just trying to enjoy the little things.
Yeah, being at the park.
Yeah, I mean, being there, the kids, you know, they love it. All the food is fantastic.
Nice. Not a Dodger Stadium.
Wife got the nachos. Kids got some dogs, some fries. I got a slice of pizza with some breadsticks. Topped it off with a little bit of custard, which I don't know if you know what custard is.
Like frozen custard, right?
Yeah, like better than ice cream
custard. Yeah, we don't really have that around here.
Yeah, see, and I know a lot of people outside the Midwest aren't very familiar with it. So, but
yeah.
So I had a twist custard with my youngest daughter. My wife split the vanilla with my oldest. And I did get myself to buy one beer.
Just one.
You know, they got, who's that? Terrapin. You know, they have that big contract.
Oh, yeah.
Molson Coors.
Right.
So they're all over the stadium. But they're Luau Crunkles IPA. It's like a pog.
Oh.
Flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
Real fucking good.
Nice.
And 19.2 ounce can. I was pretty psyched. Like, it's bigger than a tall boy. $13.49. I know you're thinking, wow, that's really good.
Yeah. At a Dodgers game, that would have been a 2 ounce pour.
Yeah. So, I was pretty psyched about that. Because all the other beers underneath, like the 16 ounces were like $11.99 or $10.99.
For like, so it's like Miller Lite.
Yeah. So at that point, it's like, what's the extra $3 when you're out at the stadium? So,
well, I'm sure the extra $3 also doubled the ABV too.
Well, yeah, I think that one, don't quote me on it. I'm not going to look it up right now. It's probably around 7%.
Right. Exactly. It's worth it.
Yeah. So super worth it. Really tasty stuff. Wish we could have had a, you know, better win, but.
Or even a better loss.
Or a better loss. You're right. But yeah, I think the final score was like 15-3 or
holy
something.
Holy shit.
Like that. Yeah, it was,
it was brutal.
It was real fucking bad.
You know, something you said reminded me of something. You're talking about pizza, nachos. So at the wedding, some of my cousins are Midwesterners. One of them specifically lives in Minnesota. Okay. And her husband was a little hydrated, but B, he's hilarious. And he comes up to me and goes, hey, when's the secret pizza coming out? And I was like, what? He goes, secret pizza, pizza at the end of the night. When's the pizza coming out? I was like, there's no pizza, man. What are you talking about? He's like,
you don't know about the pizza?
He swore I was fucking with him. And I was like, dude, I don't know about this secret pizza. And he goes, oh, you're keeping it a secret, aren't you? I was like, no, I don't know about secret pizza. Like, what are you talking about? And so finally I had to talk to my cousin. I was like, what is going on with the secret pizza?
This must be a Midwest thing.
She goes, oh, it's a Midwest thing. We're like, at weddings at midnight, they'll break out pizza.
Not midnight, because you usually have to be out of...
Or 10 or whatever.
Completely cleared out of the venue by like 11:59.
Okay.
Otherwise, you get charged like a stupid amount like per minute. It's real ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like they're not getting enough money from you.
Right.
But usually around like 10:30 or 11 o'clock, you'll usually order like 15 pizzas. Because everybody who's there, you know, you're fucking hammered.
Yeah.
You dance your ass off for the last 5 hours.
Need some carbs in your life.
You need something.
Yeah.
And it's always pizza.
I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh, it's fascinating.
I was cracking up. So when he finally started to believe me that there was no secret pizza, he turns to another cousin's husband. He turns to Jim and he goes, at the very least, there's no secret pizza. Can we hit up In-N-Out on our way back to the hotel? He was like, of course, man. All the In-N-Outers are hitting up In-N-Out. Multiple double-doubles. Yeah, I was cracking up. Did not believe me that there wouldn't be pizza at the end.
I didn't realize that was a Midwest thing.
The closest thing I've ever seen at a wedding was a wedding we went to out in the... I think it's because it's out in the middle of nowhere and like people didn't have options, but it went pretty late. Like a lot of weddings out here, they close at or they end at 10 because they're, you know, somewhat in the city or whatever. This is the middle of nowhere. So it went to like 11 or almost 12 or something. And after the caterer or food people, whatever they were, finished dinner service, they started cooking up piles of grilled cheese sandwiches. And so at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, they just brought out a fucking mound of grilled cheese, at which point everyone lost their shit and devoured.
Interesting.
It was fantastic. It was so good. So needed. We were hammered.
Wait, so weddings in the city will shut down at like 10?
Oh, yeah. If you're anywhere near a residence, you got to be done by 10 for noise reasons. Ours was the same way.
Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You got to be like out in the middle of fucking nowhere if you want to go past 10.
I've never heard of that before.
Oh, yeah. You got to be like miles from the closest house.
Miles.
Miles. There's no way they can hear you. Otherwise, they'll shut you down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's shocking.
Yeah, that's pretty common out here.
Yeah, it don't matter where you have a wedding here. You could have it in a hotel.
Yeah, it was.
That's fucking crazy.
Our wedding venue was super strict about it. They were so cool about literally everything except this. And it was, if your guests aren't out of here by 10:30, like they must be leaving at 10. And if they haven't driven away by 10:30, you will get fined. I was like, holy shit.
So what time does everything, does it all start early then or what?
Hers started at 4, like ceremony started at 4:30. My ceremony started at 5:30. I didn't want it to be too warm for people, so we pushed it back an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Not really.
So then it only goes till 10.
Yeah, so 4.5, 5.5 hours.
So between dinner, you only have like 2 hours of dancing?
Yeah, and like at her wedding, some of the speeches were quite long-winded. It's like, hey, man, you're cutting into my drinking time. I need to go get another beverage, and you need to shut up.
Oh, man. Sorry, I asked about your drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you slowed it down because you didn't want to fuck up. When I got married, I was so nervous. Not whether or not my wife was going to say yes or no.
Sure.
You know, like with the I do thing. But it's just like, weddings are kind of a big deal, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to fuck it up.
All eyes on you, the spotlight. You don't want to fuck anything up. Dude, I had like 4 vodka Red Bulls before the ceremony. Just like completely just nervous, out of my mind, completely hated it.
But once
we got married, it was fucking all bets were off. It was great.
So I was not that nervous like as I could have been because growing up, public speaking, getting in front of class, all that was my biggest nightmare. And I think the podcast has helped, but that's still like, you know, very intimate 1-to-1 or 1-to-2 or whatever. But my wedding, I wasn't too nervous. I got a little nervous when I had to read the vows. I was like, don't fuck up, just read. And I think I was even less nervous in a good way for my sisters. Like, I wasn't not nervous. It wasn't like, hey, this is going to be easy peasy. Like, I was pretty nervous, but it wasn't like, you know, undoably nervous. I did it sober and all that stuff. But for my wedding, the venue was, I don't know, 5 miles from our house. So the girls went to the venue to get ready. The guy stayed at my house. And we just started cracking open barrel-aged beers and all kinds of good shit. And had a nice little buzz going by the time wedding started. And then, you know, sobered up because the wedding plus photos took forever. And then as the reception kicked in, Nick made sure that my hand was never without beer.
Never without. That's a classic Nick move.
Yeah, classic Nick move. Boy, was I shittered by the end of the night. So,
yeah, see, and then so I was really nervous for my wedding. And then I had to speak at my best friend's wedding. So I wasn't the best man. His brother was. But because we had been best friends for like 26 years or something like that, he said, hey, I really want you to, you know, write something up.
Yeah.
Not a single nerve in my body for that.
Interesting.
Like I wrote it super easily. Like it just fell right out onto paper. And when I had to, you know, say it in front of whatever, 300 people, I was completely composed.
That's pretty good.
So I don't know if it's just because you know, like your wedding is your wedding and you think, you know, you just want it to go you know, perfect or just, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, if you fuck it up, your wife's going to be mad at you. So.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So and to do it for somebody else, it's just like that pressure is off you.
Yeah.
But not being an officiant, I feel like that'd be very, very stressful.
Yeah. A lot of eyes on me throughout that process. And I've never been the best man. I've been in weddings. I thought this is going to sound like I was jealous or something. I wasn't. I thought I was going to be the best man at someone's wedding once. And I was like, fuck, that means I got to come up with a speech and do a speech.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. I've always been nervous about having to do like a best man speech. And
I'd be nervous for planning the bachelor party because I'm not that fun of a guy.
You're not a mushroom? Not a fun guy?
No. I don't know how to do anything fun or plan anything fun.
Actually,
I've never been a best man either. Cheers to you, bud.
Yeah, cheers to not having to do that. But I actually think I'd be okay at planning the bachelor party, assuming we had similar interests, like things I knew about and could plan about or close enough, you know. So
here you just hope that somebody's bachelor party is going to be like during baseball season, because then you could just usually just plan like a big tailgate at a brewery game, and then you do like some breakfast beers or like a brewery tour before that, and
that's kind of what we did for ours.
Like my bachelor party was, went out and got breakfast. Some guys got, you know, bloodies, mimosas, et cetera. Cruised down to Lakefront for their brewery tour. Everybody had like 4, 5, 6 beers.
Mm.
Then we headed out to the cigar bar where we had more alcohol, some laxing cigars. A couple guys who don't smoke walked to the dive bar across the street and started playing bar games with the bartender.
Sure.
So they came back completely shittered.
Perfect.
And then after everybody's already shittered, we went and tailgated the brewer game and drank even more beer.
So, as one does, yeah.
And then we went to the strip club and my wife picked me up.
She picked you up from the strip club?
Yeah, did I ever tell you the story?
No.
Oh, man.
Did she know she was going to pick you up from the strip club?
No, and I didn't know she was coming. This was one of the worst times of my life. So, you know, we get done with the brewer game and we still have like a pretty big crew of guys. It's probably like 22 of us. And we left the game. We're like, all right, you know, we're going to head out to the big strip club here. It was called Silk.
Okay.
So it's connected to a sports bar. Same building, you know, but you still have to go around to enter the club. So we went to the sports bar for a little bit, had a couple drinks. Go over to the strip club because they, at 3 a.m., they do an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet.
Classy. And
it's actually pretty solid. So we were all like, all right, we'll go see some titties.
Titties and bacon.
You know, and then, you know, best of it yet, we get all you can eat breakfast.
Yeah.
So the guy who was supposed to give us a ride home ended up leaving and we didn't know. So it's me, my sister-in-law's husband, and two of my really, really, really good friends. And we're sitting at the bar, we're eating the breakfast, and my sister-in-law's husband, he's on the phone, and I'm trying not to pay attention. Puts his phone down. And he goes, dude, Jenny's going to come pick us up. And Jenny was my sister-in-law. I said, man, Jenny's fucking awesome. Like, this is great. Like, what a sister.
Can she keep a secret?
So then, you know, we just keep eating, whatever. We're not really drinking too much now because it's winding down. And
oh, no.
So 20 minutes later, he gives me a nudge. He's like, hey, Jenny's here. So, man, we're just like all psyched. Like, man, Jenny's the best.
Yeah,
man.
Best like, sister
what a
ever.
Cool chick. Walk out of the fucking door, and there's my wife sitting in the parking lot, window down, just staring me down. And I had to pick my jaw off the floor. I had no idea that Jenny was coming to pick up her soon to be husband, and that she had called my wife to come pick up me and my idiot friends.
Oh, no.
So the entire time driving home, my friends are just laughing and making jokes.
Making it so much better.
About the situation. And I just keep going, shut up, guys. Please shut up. Just shut up. So my wife, you know, pulls into our driveway and she gets into the house. And one of my friends go, hey, do you want us to sleep over tonight so you don't get yelled at? I said, yes, please. So they did. And it was brilliant.
What good friends.
Yeah, they're the best.
That's funny. So, oh, yeah, God.
That was my bachelor party. Yeah. It was totally unexpected.
Bet your sphincter's never been that tight before.
Yeah, she never said anything about it, you know?
Wow. Just a look, though, right?
Yeah, the look was, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But she, it's a bachelor party. She knew.
We did a joint bachelor, bachelorette thing. I think I've talked about this, but the baseball game reminded me. We started off, we went to San Diego. Our first night there, we went to a Padres game and they were doing their beer festival thing outside the park where it's $5 for each pour, which is obviously a million times cheaper than in the park. So we got fucking loaded outside the park, watched the game. Went back to the house where I was staying at, kept getting loaded. And the next day we went our separate ways. The guys went to North Park and went down 30th Street where all the breweries are, and the girls did some wine bullshit. So
wine bullshit.
Bullshit. No strip club.
This is a guy who drinks wine.
I do like wine. But now when I'm in San Diego, wine's for Paso. All right.
Right, right. Too good a beer in San Diego.
Right. I'm not wasting my time on that shit. Save the grapes for NorCal. Thank you very much.
Fair enough.
All right, speaking of beer, I feel like Flex has gone a long time without drinking a beer. Let's change that situation.
In a world where craft beer is king, a world where muscles are bigger than growlers, only one tongue can guide us. One man, one tongue, one tongue jobber. In this world, we must find out what is Flex drinking.
All right, I had all this stuff ready beforehand. All right, here we go. Today I am drinking Cosmic Archer from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company.
Ooh.
It's been a while since I had me some TG.
Me too.
When you messaged me earlier about the recording, I said, you know what? I'm actually gonna go out and I'm gonna buy some stuff. It's been a while. So I saw this. It was on the stand right when you walk in the door where they have like all their newish good stuff.
Yeah.
So the name really caught my attention. And then the can art.
Some sweet can art.
Yeah, it's like a guy in space. And it actually reminded me, I don't know if you're, how familiar you are with Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, I've seen the movies.
Yeah, so Yondu, the blue guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's got the arrow that he whistles around. Well, in the comics, he originally had a bow and arrow. And he was like the archer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's what the can reminded me of. So I immediately thought that was really fucking cool.
Nice.
So this is a double IPA with Mosaic, Nelson, Sauvin, and Citra hops.
All the classics.
Untappd has it at a 412. And it says, after searching to the ends of the galaxy for hop flavors worth writing home about, Cosmic Archer points his arrow and aims for Mosaic, Nelson, Sauvin, and Citra hops. After one sip, you'll be over the moon about this double IPA. So we get a little sniff here. Definitely huge on the Nelson. You get a lot of that white wine,
yeah,
gooseberry,
grape
type aromas. Faint on the like the citrus, but it is there a little bit in the background. And then, without further ado, we warm up the old tongue jobber. It's been a while.
Been a while. What we've all been waiting for.
So, the carbonation, low to medium, almost spritzy. Really nice, soft mouthfeel. Those Nelson Sauvin characteristics on this really come through. I don't know if it just works really well with Mosaic and Citra, if they put more Nelson in this, or if it just takes over. But a lot of that white grape, white wine, little bit of bitterness on the end. It definitely picks up a little bit more as the beer has warmed, but all in all, 7.8%, really, really well made beer, easy drinking beer. Always love finding me some TG, man.
Yeah, man. They never do you dirty. Like, it's always good when you find some TG.
Right. And, what else got my attention on this is the three hop combo. Sometimes these guys will come out with beers where it's like six or seven hops labeled on the can. And to me, that's just too much. I really like to try and pick out, you know, notes and flavors and, you know, it's a big reason why I love single hop stuff. So I can really try and get to know, you know, that hop or what was put in it.
You don't need the entire kitchen sink.
Exactly. So, so that really caught my attention, this, where it was just the three and they're, you know, the Mosaic Citra, real classic. And that Nelson, fucking love it. So, nice. This is right up my alley.
Sounds delicious.
Big fan. Big fan.
Big fan. Very nice. All right. Well, before we get up out of here, let's do a little booze news. The World Beer Cup happened last week at CBC in Vegas, and there were 9,300 entries from 2,060 breweries and 50 countries. And I'm going to read you all the winners.
I'd be here for it.
I'm joking. I was real proud to see a bunch of local Ventura County breweries. Made West won some stuff. Topa won some stuff. I think even VCBC got something. A lot of local love from CBC. But yeah, so like I said, all those entries, breweries. What else? There's 280 judges to judge all 9,300 entries. So they're the real heroes in this situation.
It's a lot of judges.
Yeah. It was 7 days of judging with 14 different sessions. There were 110 different beer style categories. There was 172 beer styles in total. The average number of each category was 54. Of course, the most popular category was the juicy or hazy IPA with 326 entries.
Man, that style has been running real strong.
Yeah, bro. It's running wild.
5 years now?
At least, yeah, when they finally incorporated it. The winner of the gold medal for that one was Chicago-based Old Irving Brewing Company with their
Old
Breezer.
Irving, they make some really, really solid stuff.
Do they? I don't think I've had anything.
I actually think I've had that Breezer one.
Oh, well, it's a gold winner now, so go drink it again. For the West Coast style, they had 281 entries, so they were second. Long Beach-based Ism Brewing took the gold with Western Standard Time. What else? German Pilsner had 221 entries. American Style IPA had 213 entries, where LA-based Highland Park Brewery took gold with High Six.
Hey, they do stuff, hey?
Yeah. And Wooden Barrel Age Strong Stout had a ton of entries with 198. And New Jersey-based Cane Brewing took the gold there.
I've heard really good things about them.
I feel like I've had something from the not barrel aged or anything like that, but I think something from the old Tavor came this way.
So. Okay.
Congrats to everybody. That's awesome. World Beer Cups. Good shit. We need to get out to Vegas for CBC and World Beer Cup. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you think so?
I wonder if we get some like media passes or something. Are we media enough?
I don't know. You know breweries. I don't really know too many breweries.
I got a bunch of brewer friends. I wonder if they could like slide us in or something.
I don't see why not.
We'll work on this for next year.
I mean, I'm completely down for it.
Dear Mrs. Flex.
Oh, that would be like, hey, Vegas trip, let's go.
Yeah, just leave us alone for 2 days. You guys hang out at the Lazy River. It's fantastic.
We'll be back. Good enough for me.
Yeah. Seattle Hospitality Group is going to acquire Fremont Brewing. Pike Brewing owner, the Seattle Hospitality Group, that's their name, has reached a definitive agreement to acquire a controlling interest in Fremont Brewing, the company announced last week. Terms have not been disclosed. The transaction is expected to close in the coming weeks. Another instance of breweries merging and buying each other and blah, blah, blah. Two classic breweries, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, Fremont is like the biggest brewery in Washington?
At least in Seattle, it seems like. We get them down here all the time, no problem.
Okay.
So,
I've only ever had some shit sent to me back when I, you know, used to trade stuff and give me real high anxiety. It wasn't mind-blowing to me, but I know they do a lot of like barreling shit that is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, and like they were one of the first to jump on the whole like cold IPA craze, and yeah, they like to jump on things, and they're not afraid to experiment. Just fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Assets of, I'm gonna fuck up the pronunciation of this, but Faubourg Brewing's $30 million facility is going to auction. You'll recognize it. It's formerly Dixie Brewing. Remember a few years ago, Dixie Brewing changed their name to Faubourg, or I'm sure someone from
a terrible change.
I mean, the change reason was good, you know, Dixie and the Confederacy and all that stuff.
Right.
But could we have picked something a little more?
I was going to say, there's
something that rolls off the tongue a little easier.
Easily 500,000 better brewery names.
Yeah.
Faubourg.
Despite a $30 million
investment. Farger Brewing.
Further.
What's a Ferger?
Despite a $30 million investment from Gail Benson, the owner of the NFL's New Orleans Saints and the NBA's New Orleans Pelicans,
Sorry, you said the NBA New Orleans New Orleans Pelicans.
New Orleans Pelicans.
That was just funny.
The former Dixie Brewing Company, its large-scale production facility, could not be saved. The short of it is they spent $30 million on this spot, and they're expected to get about $2 million in when they go to auction. So, whoops.
Yikes. I would chalk that up to a loss.
Yeah, you don't say. There's a lot more. They've merged with another company. They're hoping to live on and contract and blah, blah, blah. Jack's Abbey to acquire Wormtown Brewery under new parent company. Jack's Abbey will acquire fellow Massachusetts-based Wormtown Brewery. Will operate the two breweries under the newly created parent company, Hendler Family Brewing Co. The sale is expected to close in early summer, pending licensing and approval. According to a press release, Jack's Beverage Co., Jack Abbey's contract brewing arm, will also operate under the new parent company. Jack's Abbey co-founder and CEO Sam Hendler said in a statement shared with Brewbound that the acquisition is not only a milestone for the three co-owners and brothers, but also reflects a broader trend unfolding within the craft beer industry. Both breweries will operate under the newly formed Hendler family umbrella. The transaction, which is expected to close in early summer, and related capital investments will create the largest craft brewing facility in Massachusetts. Hendler Family Brewing will offer jobs to the vast majority of current non-ownership Wormtown staff, according to their press release. Wormtown and Jack's Abbey taprooms remain in operation, continue only to serve their own respective products with additional resources, support, and staff from the new ownership, according to the release. Wormtown operates taprooms in Worcester and at Patriot Place, an open-air shopping district in Foxborough near the New England's Patriots home field. Anyways, it goes on from there. But more merging.
A lot of information there.
Yeah, sorry. Too much information. Ballast Point is going to cease production in Miramar and go strictly contract production.
Interesting.
Not surprised.
But it's interesting.
It is interesting. Kings and Convicts owned Ballast Point Brewing ceased operations at its Miramar production facility last weekend and will lean on contract production for its offerings moving forward for distribution and taproom service. An unnamed business will take over the 107,000 square foot facility with 1 million barrels of production capacity.
Good God.
Right. It's unclear who that business will be at this time. With a move, a number of Ballast Point production staffers have been laid off, according to San Diego Beer News. Ballast Point CEO Brendan Waters told SD Beer News, "It's been a hard week, but we had to right the ship. I've been trying to get us out of there for the better part of a year and a half. We brought other breweries in on a contract basis to try and fill up capacity. It's too big, and that ain't Ballast Point. Ballast Point is Scripps Ranch back in the day, grinding 24 hours a day," which was a tiny little brewing facility.
Okay.
"The company will continue to operate the bar and restaurant at the Miramar facility, brew pub in San Diego's Little Italy neighborhood, homebrew mart locations in Marina and Outpost in Anaheim, San Francisco, and Long Beach," according to the report. By the way, Anaheim is the one at Disneyland. It's not just in Anaheim. So I'm sure they have some contract where they can't just up and leave Disneyland. But who knows?
Oh, interesting to see who goes in there.
Yeah, but they're keeping all their locations open. That's a big-ass brewing facility to try and fill up.
Oh, what do you say, 107,000 square feet?
Yeah.
That's
insane.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. I will quickly end it with this story.
It's like 50 of my houses.
It's like 107 of my houses. It's depressing because I'm sure my house costs three times what yours does. I don't even have a basement.
Not a real estate show.
Not yet. We're the property bros. We'll end it with this one real quick. Idaho Falls man kicks Yellowstone bison, injures leg, and goes to jail.
That sounds about right.
You ready for this name? Clarence Yoder.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
40, approached a bison too closely on the afternoon of April 21st at the West Entrance Road near 7 Mile Bridge, 7 miles east of the park's west entrance. Rangers responded after they got a report of someone harassing a herd of bison and kicking one of the animals in the leg. They found his vehicle near the west entrance and stopped in. Yoder was charged with being under the influence of alcohol to agree that may endanger oneself, disorderly conduct as to create or maintain a hazardous condition, and approaching wildlife and disturbing wildlife. The driver of the vehicle was 37-year-old McKenna Bass, also of Idaho Falls, who was arrested and cited on charges of driving under the influence, interference with failure to yield to emergency light activation, and disturbing wildlife. Park officials said his injuries were minor. No further details were given.
So did he hurt his leg or the bison's leg?
His own leg.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Don't worry. The bison is fine. The idiot is the one that got hurt.
That's what I was hoping until you said that he kicked the bison in the leg.
Yeah.
No, and no, then no. I was kind of worried about the bison. All right.
No, no. The bison is like 1,000 pounds. I think he's all right.
Well, maybe he hit the right spot. I don't know.
Hey, you never know. Oh, that's everything. I'm going to hit some music over here. I'm going to say a hello to Vanessa.
Well, hello, Vanessa.
I hope you all check us out on the socials and everything else's. Craft Beer Republic, and of course, FlexMeABeer_ in between. Leave us a voicemail, 805-538-BEER. It's 2337. I think that's just about everything. Come hang out with us next week. Hope everyone's staying very well hydrated.
And on that note,
good night, everybody.